Welcome to the Tell Me Something Good show, where every week we share with you, well, something good. Because who knows, it just might change your life one week at a time. I'm Brett, and together with my co-host, Paolo, we want to help you see the bright side, because there's always good in the world. You just have to know where to look.
All right, welcome to episode 9 of season 3. And for any of our eager-eared listeners, last week I said the wrong episode number. Did you notice?
I'm not even... This may as well be episode 5 million.
Breaking news. Concerned. I said episode 7 when it was episode 8.
How dare you?
I know. And it's a little pedantic, I know. But let's just start fresh, episode 9.
Way to be detail-oriented.
And for other listeners, listening, eager listeners, I have my Invisalign on my smile direct in. So my speech sounds a little weird and you keep hearing me...
Gosh, it's week you're five. Wearing a retainer.
Yeah, but I've been taking them out for this. And I was like, you know what? Today's the day. I'm going to do it. So if I sound a bit weird, that's why.
I have so many questions, but I won't ask them all right now.
Okay. And then the, just
I wish my son Nate were here because he desperately does not want braces and wants the Invisalign instead.
Okay.
But I don't have the heart to tell him. Might not be an option.
Okay.
Anyway, enough about your teeth. I don't have a joke, but I do have something. Well, it's
you said I was going to love it.
It's very layered and complicated. I have something good, though.
Okay.
My something good is mayor of
I keep hearing about this. I keep hearing about it.
Who has seen it?
I haven't seen it, but I keep hearing it. Everybody's talking about it.
It is so good. Oh, I can't. I just keep thinking about it. I'm obsessed.
That's a bit weird.
And it's a little bit hard to, in the beginning, it seems depressing. And it's kind of like, why am I watching this? But you just have to stick with it.
Now, is it, everything's out? Or is it still going?
It's all out. All right. You could binge it. All
right.
And I just want to say, Kate Winslet.
That's flawless, fine. I keep hearing this.
Flawless. She's going to get... I mean, she better get awards for this.
Oh, who cares about those stupid political things? But let's stop talking as if there's not a third person in the room.
I know, it's weird. Yeah. Today, we are very excited because we are interviewing Ali Griz. And we're going to let her introduce herself. But I think this is going to be a great conversation.
Great job on the name.
Yeah, I really took my time and...
Nailed it.
Yep. So go ahead, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't really know much, so, you know, I'm very interested in hearing this.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you all for having me.
Of course.
You're welcome.
I'm excited to be here. And I'm Allie, everybody. I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, and Southern Indiana, so an area of the country that we call Kentuckiana.
I love it.
You know, my dad was born in Indiana.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Where?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It was Indiana. It might have been Gary.
I was born in Indianapolis.
I have to ask him.
So I...
And you don't have an accent?
I don't. I've lost it.
Okay. I was going to say, like, is that because they're just... Where you live, there isn't really a heavy accent?
No, there's a very heavy accent where I live. So when I come back from home... It's usually back. I've been around my family and my friends, and my sons say that it comes out when I get mad. They like to mock me, or if I've had a cocktail or two, it'll show up. But I've been a Jersey girl for a long time, so
I love it.
The accent. I know. I'm a little sad about it.
I want to hear it.
Should be Jersey proud, right?
I think you ever lose it. I think it just gets suppressed.
Right. There you go. You know? And I went to college at Indiana University. I got my undergraduate in kinesiology and studied health and physical education. And then my master's, I stayed for both undergrad and grad school at Indiana, and I got my master's in counseling psychology.
Mm. And starting to see how things have come together.
Yes, always the
more
body
to come
and the
on
mind.
That, yeah.
And I headed out to New Jersey right after graduate school, and I had two sons, so they are 10 and 11 now. And they play ice hockey. We are a big hockey family, just like Brett.
Yep.
And now...
Do they play lacrosse as well?
Yes, okay. Lacrosse as well. Should have said that too.
Yeah. Ice hockey seems to loom over everything.
Yes, it overtakes.
Yes.
And I now teach yoga for athletes and mobility and mindfulness to athletes of all ages, from my son's ages up to professional athletes. And I love what I do.
I'm happy to be here. So I don't want to get out of order of what we have written down here, but I'm really interested to hear about the professional athletes and how that is compared to training people who aren't, who don't do it for a living. Like, do you see a, like, what's the main difference? Is it their physical capabilities or is it the mentality that they have that drives them to want to improve and stuff like that?
It's a great question. It definitely, being within a professional organization, it is a much more serious, you know, environment. But in terms of teaching a high school athlete, a college athlete, or a professional athlete, there are so many similarities in the way that they move and the way that they listen and take their sport seriously. And they want to be the best they can be. So whether I'm working with a 14-year-old or a 32-year-old professional athlete, the drive a lot of times is very similar, which is what really inspires me.
Yeah.
I have found at the professional level that when I work with guys who are older, who have been through, and I guess it can happen at younger, but who have been through a lot of injuries and been through rehabilitation and more physical therapy, they have become much more body aware through those. And so I can use, you know, different language with them and we can really get right to work past the, you know, stability basics because they have that huge amount of body awareness. And I really have seen that at the pro level. So,
yeah, it's interesting what you're saying about the mindset of even high school kids, because I feel like sports is such an important thing for kids to do, even if they're not good at it. Because it gives them that mentality for later in life to always want to improve themselves and learn and do things like that. But it's interesting that there's a lot of similarities because I would have thought, I mean, I see it within the fitness world, like athletes compared to non-athletes. It's like, all right, did you get enough sleep tonight? The answer is going to be yes with the athlete and no versus the regular person because it's not their priority. And things like that, like I've always found those differences, but it's interesting, you know, from your side of things, it's actually quite similar.
It is. And I think the student athletes that come to me are the athletes that are taking what they do very seriously.
Yeah.
And they know what it takes to get to the next level. And they want to do that. And they're willing to invest in it. And they're willing to learn about it and apply themselves to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, are all student athletes getting, you know, the right amount of sleep? No, absolutely not. But that is one thing that we definitely, I and my partner, I have a sports psychologist partner. We co-founded Elevate together, which we can talk about later. But, you know, sleep's one of the big things that we talk about. And most student athletes that I'm with are getting their sleep because they're doing all the things, the extra things that are needed, like mobility training, like training their mind, their sports psychology, and they want that next level.
Yeah.
So their intensity is similar to that of a college athlete or a pro athlete.
Awesome. I don't want to sidetrack. I know Brett had a nice running order here. You want to?
Wonder, how did you? So I know you also have an extensive yoga background. Can you just tell us a little bit about your journey with yoga from when you started practicing to what made you decide to get trained and what experiences have been most meaningful in your training?
Okay. So I fell into a yoga class in, I forget the exact year, I was in my late 20s recovering from a back injury from distance running.
Back from distance running. How does that happen?
I've been trying to tell people running is not good for you.
Yeah, maybe that's ignorant, but how does one hurt their back running? Is it because of the impact?
Let me explain. Every time your foot hits the ground while you're running, you have like 7 to 10 times your body weight coming back at you from the ground. So if anything's out of alignment, where's that force going to get absorbed? In your joints.
Right.
So depending on how well your running style is, jam your back up pretty easily.
And your hips and then your lumbar spine.
You see shoulder injuries from running for that reason.
Huh, that's interesting. Yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah.
So back injury from distance running.
Okay.
And not taking care of myself in any other way, such as yoga or strength training or just strictly distance running.
Yeah.
And I was in physical therapy, seeing a chiropractor, and they recommended a yoga class.
Okay.
And I loved intensity. To me, working out was, you know, I would describe myself as almost an adrenaline junkie. Like anything that just pumped adrenaline through me, that to me was the definition of a workout.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Harder, faster, stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I had to make it a hot yoga class.
Right, because of course.
If I'm going to take yoga, let's make this the most intense yoga experience possible. Like the hottest room, like blast Jay-Z the whole time.
Yeah. Let's to be like loud, like crazy music.
Crazy. Like, let's go. Let's do this. So I went to a hot yoga class.
Okay.
And went in, you know, a little bit kicking and screaming, but, you know, they had recommended it, so rolled my eyes and looked it up and went. Thought I would hate it. And it really, it wasn't love at first sight, but the feeling was, I remember it was very hard for me to focus the entire time, to listen for an hour to what this instructor was telling me to do with my body and connecting my mind to that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, I remember leaving, I specifically remember this drive home, knowing that I had never felt in this way before. And now looking back, I know that that feeling was what we call presence.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew right then that yoga was going to be a part of my life. I didn't know exactly how. It took time. You know, I went once a week, and then I went twice a week, and then I went three times a week. And then I knew I needed presence in this way in my life every single day. Mm-hmm. So I did a 200-hour yoga training and immediately went into a kids and teens yoga training out of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, did two Yoga for Athlete certifications. So one in Toronto, Canada, and then one in Miami, Florida called MYP Athletes.
Okay.
And I have been specializing in athletes ever since.
What is it that draws you to athletes versus the general public? Is it that drive and the dedication that they have?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. It's a few things, and that being the third thing. So the first two I would describe as my background was kinesiology in college. So I studied the biomechanics of sport. And I've always worked around sports and fitness in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Combined with my own experience as an athlete, I did gymnastics and competitive cheerleading growing up.
Okay.
And then the distance running throughout college and into my 20s. So applying what I wish I had and what I wish I was introduced to. And then, yes, the drive and the passion that I feel when I work with athletes is amazing.
Cool.
Can you tell us a little bit more about Lion's Den Yoga, which I know is near and dear to your heart? I see you posting about that on your Instagram feed. And I have never done it, but I know they have a very specific and sort of unique philosophy that I'd love for you to just share, because it's always intrigued me.
So Lion's Den Power Yoga in New York City, you said you've never been.
I haven't.
They teach and practice Baptiste yoga.
Baptiste, okay.
So Baptiste yoga is power yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my training at Lion's Den, that was my 300-hour.
Okay.
And I would describe it as very leadership-based.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a lot of journaling, a lot of self-awareness, self-reflection around not just how to be a better teacher, but how to be a better leader in general. And that's really that style of yoga, Baptiste yoga.
Yes. It's, and that's what I was, I mean, that's what I was trained in, not quite as probably pure of a form, right? Not as in-depth.
I knew
mine
that
was like the light version.
I knew there was someone that told me about that Baptiste before. It must have been you.
Yeah, mine was definitely more the light version, but
it was an amazing experience. It was a year-long training. We met one weekend a month. So we came together on a Friday night, and then it was all day Saturday and all day Sunday. For a year.
I mean, and you had your boys and everything at this point, right?
It was wild.
Wow.
And we were from all, you know, all different backgrounds. So a lot of teachers that were based in New York City, there were about 8 of us mm-hmm. from Jersey that would commute in together. Those car rides were wild. And it was a wonderful experience. And also the fact that it lasted throughout the year.
Yeah.
It gave a lot of time for reflection. You know, a lot of, I forget how long your 200 hour was. I think we trained the same program.
Oh gosh. Yeah. It might've been 1 year after you. But yes, same program.
It was pretty
like
quick.
A month, but maybe.
Yes. Right. The weekends were one after the other.
Yeah. It was fast and furious.
Fast and furious, yes. Which is great and effective. And,
yeah.
And that was a great program. But this being a year long, you really had time in between the weekends to really
absorb it all. Yeah.
Exactly. Like really apply what you learned. So I highly recommend that you go. I trained under Bethany Lyons,
right?
The owner. Mm-hmm. And she is, there are no words. Like she is just a force. She is a phenomenal, motivating leader in the yoga world. So.
And they have withstood the pandemic, presumably, and
they did.
Are still in New York City.
They are. They had 2 locations, one in Tribeca, one in Chelsea,
okay.
And they lost 1 location.
Okay.
Within the pandemic, but they kept Chelsea, and then they have Lion's Den Digital, which they created during the pandemic. It's a digital platform with live classes every day and recorded classes and meditations. Yes, I am a member of that.
Wonderful.
Should try it out.
Yeah, I didn't realize they, I mean, I should have just, at this point, I should just assume that everybody's pivoted. But that's, yeah, that's interesting.
They went all out. It's done.
Yeah.
It's a great product. It's done very well. And yeah, Bethany is constantly learning, constantly bettering what she's putting out there.
Mm.
I'm a member. It's great. You should try it for sure.
I will. So one of the things I wanted to ask about, and I'm sure that you encounter this a lot, Allie, is this, when I was teaching and when I still talk about yoga, I know so many people that are, almost everybody is just moving so fast these days. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say that they can't do yoga because they can't slow down and it's like torture. How do you work with folks like that? Who have, you know, come into it just with this idea that they're not going to be able to slow down or that it's going to be so hard to still their thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the client that I just came here because I'm teaching, actually.
You do, on top of all this, you do privates as well, right?
I do, yes, one-on-one privates. I had a golfer this morning,
mm-hmm.
and he owns his own company. It's a very large family business.
Okay.
And he is definitely type A
mm-hmm.
and has a lot on his plate. And so I just, what came to mind right when you said that, and because I've been there this morning, is my journey with him to slow down. And it is possible, you know, no matter how restless someone is in the beginning, I always have so much patience and a lot of belief in them, because everyone's journey takes time and they evolve throughout this mindfulness and slowing down process at a different pace. Mm-hmm. And so as long as they have enjoyed the session with me and they're looking forward to the next one and they're enjoying the process, how fast it goes for them, I'm never super worried about. But yeah, I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah, no, I think that's great.
Like, what are some of the methods or tricks or hacks that you use to slow someone like that down? Because, I mean, we talk about a lot how I kind of have trouble with meditation for that reason. Like, I find it very hard to, number one, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, while I'm doing it, to really be slowed down and shut off from everything around me. And how do you teach that into someone?
I think the first step is just education, mm-hmm. letting them know that when your mind is racing and when your mind is wandering, and you find it really hard to focus, that's your mind doing exactly what it's made to do. And we can never, you know, our mind isn't like a faucet where we, wouldn't that be nice? But where we just turn it on when we need and turn it off, you know? Yeah. So your mind is always going. And that's also a great thing. That's why we have success in our lives. And that's why we're able to be productive, right? And to reflect on the past, but not get stuck there. And to think about the future, but not get stuck there and come back to present. So educating, I think the first thing that nothing's wrong with you. When I have a client who, because that's what we tend to think, that when your mind just races, that something's wrong. And then also my style in the way that I teach is, because I work with athletes, it's athletic. So it, that appeals to someone who's faster paced. I should have said that before with your answer. And
right,
also,
like you're not doing that kind of yoga where...
The hippy dippy.
Yeah.
Right. Or we're like just lying on the floor and.
No, yoga nidra.
That's what I forgot what it was called.
So, yeah,
yes.
I guess with the athlete stuff, even I would imagine like making them focus on a move kind of takes their mind away from everything else and that's what they're focused on. So, I guess that's kind of one way of.
My cueing. Yes. Yeah. I'm always cueing to specific body parts, which brings you in that racing mind nature. To the present moment. So in my own personal practice, if I'm struggling that day with my mind every day, in each pose, I put my attention on one body part. Where am I feeling this pose the most intense? My shoulders. Okay, I'm going to really focus on my shoulders. What can I do here? Create more space between my shoulders and my ears. And that's also what I guide any of my students through. What was your question again?
No, like, what are your tactics? Yeah, I imagine that's one of them is able to focus on something physical draws them to that and then it helps them, you know, by the end of the session, like, oh, I wasn't thinking about anything apart from how I'm going to get this arm through this arm.
That is exactly it.
Yeah.
At the end of my session this morning with the golfer that I was telling you about, who has a company and very fast-paced life, the end of the session, I did a reading on presence and said, for this entire past hour, you were fully present. Yeah. And yeah, he agreed. It's a wonderful feeling. So,
which is funny. I imagine golf is not the sport to be fast paced, right? You got to concentrate. You got to be slow and deliberate.
Yes, golf is it's a great sport to introduce sports psychology and training your mind as well as your body.
Big time.
I want to talk a little bit now about your new company. Can you just tell us a little bit about the company and, you know, exactly how it started and what you're hoping to do with it?
So we are Elevate Performance.
Elevate. I love that name.
Thank you. We love it too. And Elevate was born when I was asked at the beginning of last year, so the school year, September, to teach yoga mobility and sports psychology to a hockey academy. So this is ex-hockey academy with Bryce Salvador. And I do have, you know, my master's is in psychology, and so I do have those tools, but sports psychology is not my expertise. So I knew that I wanted to bring in someone who really had that specific expertise.
Yeah.
And I was lucky that it was a friend of mine and someone that I connected with in the yoga world. She also is a yoga teacher, so a colleague. She's a sports psychologist at Holderness Prep School in New Hampshire.
Okay.
So she works with student athletes. And Ginger Comstock is her name.
Okay.
So I called her up and said, how about you mentor me? And we do, let's say, 10 sessions together. And you help me develop this sports psychology curriculum. For the hockey academy. And after those sessions, you know, well over 10 hours on the phone together, we were dear friends and we knew exactly what we each valued and believed in. And we had created this amazing curriculum together and we just knew that we had so much to give. And we knew we had to create something more. So Elevate was born. And
great.
We teach the combination of yoga, mobility, and sports psychology to athletes.
And is it, how does it work? Like you sign up for a program almost like you would a school, or is it one-off lessons?
So we are four-day sessions.
Okay.
3 hours per day.
Mm-hmm.
So Monday through Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, so you sign up for a session and it is those 12 hours for a week.
And what ages does this cover?
Right now, this summer, we're offering to high schoolers.
High schoolers, okay.
So rising freshmen through seniors. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of focus on leadership. So we really hope a lot of captains, assistant mm-hmm. captains will be able to come so that leadership, you know, can trickle down to the entire team, even if all of the team members aren't able to come. And we have a lot of teams and school districts who are coming together.
That's
for each week. And we've found that, you know, with your kids, student athletes are so busy during the year. Like, yeah. It is all they can do to get their academics in,
yeah.
get to their sport practices, get dinner, which is sometimes at, 9:30 at yeah. night for even yeah. us. And we
in
don't
the
have
car.
High schoolers.
Yeah.
And that summer is a really great time for them when they don't have those added pressures to really work on self-reflection and some of these mental tools
yep.
and injury prevention. So our summer sessions were born.
So how do you sell that, though, to the parents of these kids? Because mm-hmm. a lot of them think that their child has to be doing the sport that they're doing all year round. That's all they have to do if they want to be the best, which is bullshit. How do you sell it to them and say, you know what, they need to stop doing that sport for this week
yes.
and let me do this for them.
Like, if Ginger were here, she would love everything that you just
yeah.
said.
But how do you pitch that? Because I mean, even at Evolve, we always had problems trying to get kids into strength train, even though that's probably more widely accepted as helpful to athletes than yoga and sports psychology, especially at that age. Like, how do you pitch it to them and say, like, this is what they need?
Mm-hmm.
What's the elevator pitch?
The elevate pitch is a little bit of what I just described to Brett with adding this in the summer when it is a little more doable.
Mm-hmm.
There's little more space in their schedules, even though they are still jam-packed.
Mm-hmm.
There is more time available to focus on themselves and to get these skills in their belt, these tools, I should say, in their belt, so that when they head into the next very busy academic year as a student athlete, they've learned this. I also describe it as when the wheels fall off the bus, which at some time they will for all of us in life,
mm-hmm.
they then have the tools to put the wheels back on, and they also have us. So we are not you come to our camp and then you leave and we never talk to you
There's
again.
Alumni kind of help.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have so many hopes and dreams for Elevate, and one is an Elevate Alumni Association. Mm-hmm. And also, you have us. You have an injury down the road, you mid-season. Like, you have me. Call me. We'll go over all of the mobility that we learned for that body part, and we'll, you know, come up with a nice little warm-up and cool-down for you specific to your injury. If you are having anything mentally with your sport, Ginger is there. Ginger also is phenomenal at helping student-athletes write college admission letter or letters to coaches about playing in college.
That's great.
So we are there forever.
And how was that? I guess your first program would have been last summer?
This summer.
This summer.
Upcoming.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting. All right.
Very exciting.
It's
we have a big summer
great.
Ahead.
Yeah. Any more openings? Were you booked?
Yes, we do have some openings.
Okay.
We have every week is a team or a school district.
Mm-hmm.
But within that team and school district, we probably won't fill all of the positions that are available. So there's definitely some room for some individuals to come or, teams to come in
yeah.
small groups and things like that. So
do you envision opening it up to like business, that kind of thing, you know, team bonding, team building? Is that in the plans, or you want to strictly focus on athletes?
Like to head the corporate
Yeah.
direction.
Is there the plans for that, or you want to stick with just the athletes?
We are going to stick with just the athletes. Yeah, we both have a very strong passion for helping student athletes.
Yeah, that's great.
And we want to dedicate everything to that. So.
Yeah, that's great. You've got a vision, stick to it.
Yes, thank you.
I think it's so important too, this is a little bit tangential, but this is another thing I just am kind of fascinated by. Naomi Osaka, professional tennis player, Have you been following what happened last week with her? I'm sure your colleague would also, she may know about it. But she, so she's a professional tennis player. She won the U.S. Open somewhat unexpectedly. She was an underdog. She beat Serena like 3 years ago. And she announced that for the French Open, she wasn't doing any press because she's suffering from depression and anxiety. And it makes it worse to have to go in front of this barrage of reporters and be sort of relentlessly questioned. And she said, I'm probably going to be fined for this, you know, and I may even be kicked out. But, you know, this is something that I need to do and I want to be open about this. And so she subsequently had to withdraw from the tournament. And then Venus Williams, also playing, came out with the a very different viewpoint. Her viewpoint, I would say, is a little more old school. She said, you know, they asked her how she deals with it, and she says, I deal with it because I know that everyone asking me the questions, no one will ever be as good as me.
Oh, wow.
I will always be better than them, so I actually pity them. You know, that was kind of her, you know, which is the polar opposite. But I do think that my point here is that I hope and I do believe that we've come to a time in history now where we need to start talking about mental health. Mm-hmm. We need athletes to start talking about mental health. And I think this new generation has a different attitude about it. I think, you know, I applaud Naomi Osaka for coming, you know, for talking about it and being open and doing what she needs to do for her mental health. And I think companies like yours are wonderful because they're blending the two. You know, gone are the days of, you know, crush it and you have to just go to the gym and not paying any attention to the mental aspect. Because if you look, there's so many professional athletes that have been, you know, their mental health is just not good. Mm-hmm. And the way they were raised has been devastating. You know, Tiger Woods, like I could list so many. And so I think, services like the ones that you guys are going to be providing are just so important, because this idea of slowing down and this idea of presence and mental health are so important. It's not just a fluffy, hippie thing, mm-mm, you know? And the more professional athletes that can start having that integrated, the better.
Well, I feel like a lot of it's because they live at such a high frequency when they're playing. You know, they've got the adrenaline of the crowd. They've got, you know, they're so focused on the task at hand when they're out there. It's kind of like they come crashing down when they're done, you know, or when they're just when they're not playing. Like how do you teach those people to find that middle ground and maybe slow the transition to that coming back down, so they're not hitting it, and that's where the depression and the anxiety comes from?
A great question. I have found with my professional athlete experience, I have learned, I should say, just how hard their lives really are and how their work is not just what you see them do.
Right. Mm.
That it's so much more. It's the media, mm-hmm, that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
They are on the road all the time. They're flying in, they're getting in, you know, they're arriving into a city that they're playing at 2 a.m. And yeah, they're up the next morning at 8 a.m. for breakfast and to head to practice.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very demanding life that I think it's easy for us to look at and romanticize. And so my eyes were really opened to that right away.
Yeah.
And they are not robots. They are the best of the best at what they do.
Yeah.
And they are human beings.
I think that's the mistake a lot of people make, is that, oh, well, they make so much money, I could do that, no problem. Right? But it's actually, well, you try doing that, and then worry about your family back home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we're just talking about them right there, but like, they got a family back home, they might have to be dealing with an illness in the family or something, you know? So I think it's great that more attention is being paid to this kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And are you finding on the professional side of things that there's more resources being allocated to this kind of stuff for the athletes? Or is it more the athletes are going out and doing it by themselves because they're seeing the importance?
It's both.
Yeah.
I think organizations are beginning to value the importance of really both, because we're talking about, you know, a lot about the mind and the sports psychology, but also the mobility and the yoga for athletes.
Yes.
In terms of injury prevention.
Yeah.
And just, you know, taking care of their bodies and the mindfulness part of yoga. Mm-hmm. So I've seen organizations start to value that a lot more. Strength and conditioning coaches really coming around to being open to that type of work for their players. You know, when it takes a lot of trust as a coach or as a strength and conditioning coach to send your players to do this work. I feel that, you know, I'm very grateful for the opportunity, because I feel a lot of trust, and I take that very seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did that answer your question, or did I get off track?
What's been the hardest part of this journey? I know, I remember a few years ago when you were just starting off with the young hockey players.
And
that was a little bit like hurting cats.
Yes. Thunder camp. Okay. So for anybody listening, my sons play for the organization Union Thunder, mm-hmm. the youth hockey program. And I also work for that program. I teach yoga and mobility to their summer camps.
Okay.
And Brett is remembering back to my very first summer, and I remember heading into that summer. Her son Nate was there, right?
Yep.
And I remember heading into that summer thinking, I just feeling so confident. Like, there's no way this will go wrong. Like, I'm going to crush this. I have my background in education. I have, now I'm yoga trained, and I understand the body so well, the kinesiology. Like, I was just made for this. It's going to go so well. And they literally ate me for breakfast. Not Nate, because he was camper of the year. Do you remember?
That's the year he was there, like, every day.
Every day. And Nate was front row and listened to everything I said, I promise.
Oh, really? Because I trained him for a while. Oh. Was he 10 when I trained him?
Probably 9. Yeah. Probably 9.
He wasn't your student of the year?
He was sassy.
This
like his
is
mother.
Probably 8. He was probably 8 when this happened.
He was Thunder Camper of the Year.
Yes, he was.
But the rest of them
That's
ate me for breakfast. I just learned everything from a movement standpoint, body awareness with each age level, mm-hmm. and how to break down the movements and you know, when go too nerdy there and talk about all the biomechanics, but I learned a lot there. But I also learned when 10-year-old boys come in for yoga and you tell them to take off their shoes, if you do not tell them what to do with the shoes that they took off, you will have a game of dodgeball.
Oh my God.
With boys throwing shoes at each other.
I mean,
you know.
No, I know, but every time I'm like, it's just,
it could have been on Funniest Home Videos. And also, I say that, I also had wonderful moments, we both know Matt Anderson,
yes.
is the hockey director at Union Thunder.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
He is wonderful. He is about constant growth. Yep. And each summer we sit down, how can we make this better than the last? You know, and he supported me every step of the way. He was definitely my cheerleader.
He probably got a good chuckle.
He did. And I went home the last night, you know, probably drank a bottle of wine and thought, there's no way I'm going to do this next year. And then I woke up the next morning, started planning for next year.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, so at Evolve, we did this lacrosse program.
Hmm.
And there was only 8 kids in it. And same thing, like, trying to control that age group is just... it's something else.
Yes.
But eventually you figure out ways of engaging them and keeping them controlled and contained. And I think there is a real skill and real art to that. And so I can definitely imagine the growth you must have felt as a teacher. I feel like if you can teach that age group, you can teach anybody.
I agree.
Because that is difficult. But there is also no greater joy than, like, when you get it and you see them all doing what you've asked them to do. It's just like you feel like you're done, and you can see that the happiness in their faces, that they're actually doing something and enjoying it, and they can actually do it.
Well, after that first summer, you know, I would joke that they would you know, would go however it would be. In my mind, it wasn't exactly what I wanted to have happen, obviously.
Right.
But they loved it. I still did a lot of good work.
Nate came home raving. Oh, he loved it.
Yeah, I should say that. You know, in my mind, it wasn't the perfect product, but the kids loved it. Yeah. And they would say, thank you, Coach Allie.
Yeah.
And that would, like, my heart would be melted for the rest of the day, knowing knowing that they loved it.
Yeah, I used to get parents that were like, oh, are you doing the lacrosse again? Because the kids love it. I'm like, they love it?
They love it.
You know,
but I came back the next year. I did the two Yoga for Athlete trainings that I had mentioned before during that year. Mm-hmm. So I was geared up. I came in with like a whistle and a police costume. And it was not really, but let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And so the second year went so much better. Mm-hmm. I think Nate was there the second year, just not as often.
Yep.
And then my third year was last summer. And I had started to, I hadn't hired Ginger yet. You know, we hadn't started working together with the mentorship with sports psychology, but we were friends at this time and we were talking often. And so I even started to add in some sports psychology last summer. So, and then I'm already thinking about this summer, how can I make it better than it was the last?
Yeah.
So I've just really always enjoyed, and I worked at summer camps at the YMCA when I was younger. And I really enjoy the summer setting with kids, which kind of comes full circle back to Elevate. I think it's just a great opportunity, whether it's a camp or a session to learn more about something. It's just a great space for the kids to really focus on growth outside of their busy academic year.
And with, you know, you've got all this stuff going on, the family, the business, multiple businesses. How do you carve time out for yourself and prioritize your own kind of teachings for yourself? Because it's something we talk about all the time. It's like, you know, as a trainer, a lot of trainers don't work out as well as they should because they're putting all their time to their clients.
Right.
Things like that. So like, how do you find the time? What, you know, what adjustments have you made in your life to accomplish that?
It's been quite the balance this year with the pandemic.
Yeah, well, even worse, yeah.
So I'll bring us back to Lion's Den Digital, which, you know, Zoom exploded and these live classes on the computer. So my sons get out of school this entire year at 12:30. And a lot of times in previous years, I would do my work in the mornings and then the afternoon was my time. You know, I would take a noon class or I would get my workout in and take care of myself in the afternoon.
Wow.
And that's not been possible this year.
Yeah.
So to have those virtual options and to be able to create a great workout for myself from home through programs like Lion's Den Digital has been awesome. And I've also been a little more gentle with myself. Like today, if I get out and do a 4-mile walk with the dog and I'm up and I'm moving my body, then that's a win. But I do think practicing what we preach as fitness professionals is so important. And when we're taking care of ourselves, we are so much better at what we do. And so I really value it. I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, it makes you more of a, you know, you can kind of, if you believe what you're selling, but you can't say you need to get more sleep, you need to eat better, you need to be able to do this and get into this position and move this way, and then you're like, I don't do that. Like, who am I to tell you? Whereas if you do it, you can say, look, I've been doing this. I know what it's like.
Yes, you know? I agree. I've made changes recently to my sleep. I shut down from my phone and my blue light a lot earlier than I used to. And for exactly what you just said, if I'm looking at my student athletes and asking them to do the same thing, I can say it with so much more passion and realness if I'm doing it myself.
Okay, so I'm curious, what is your why?
My why is I want to give all student athletes and adult athletes what I wish I had as a student athlete and as an adult athlete. And going back to when I was a student athlete in gymnastics and competitive cheerleading, you know, active recovery, well, I didn't even know what that was. Recovery was sitting on the couch doing nothing. And I got to eat whatever I wanted. That was in my mind what recovery was and what it meant. And I had no understanding of the value of movement. You know, now we know that sitting on the couch all day is the worst thing you can do when you need to recover. So on top of that, I had repeated stress fractures in my ankles from gymnastics and from tumbling. I would go to physical therapy. You know, I would rehab a little bit and rest as I needed to get better, head right back into my sport, and then I don't really remember the timing, but 6 months, a year later, there it came again.
Yeah.
And so I had no understanding around holistically taking care of my body. And I know we, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but I often think how I could have been different if I had the knowledge that I have now. And then that bled, you know, goes into when I was distance running throughout college, and then up until when I hurt my back and found yoga and knew I needed to cross train in other ways. So that combined with the mental performance, I just think student athletes, all of us now actually are faced with so much more distraction than we were. You know, this mental work was important even back when, and even more so now because of social media and our devices and, you know, just the level of distraction. Yeah. So my why is to give as much as I can to all athletes in a way that I wish, you know, and give them things that I wish I had been given.
Yeah. I love that. To us.
Yeah, and what I would add, again, is I got to practice what I'm preaching here, because I know I don't devote enough time to the kind of stuff you teach, and I know I need to.
Let's do a class.
But I think everyone listening needs to understand that the fitness industry, and I've said it before, is set up for you to fail. It's big business for you to fail.
Yes.
They don't want you losing weight because they want you onto the next product or the next workout thing, the next piece of equipment. They need you and want you to fail. That's why this kind of stuff doesn't get enough attention, because actually if you do holistically look after yourself, you succeed. There's a lot of different pieces that you need to take care of your health and your fitness. Mm-hmm. And so much money is thrown at, you know, the Pelotons and this piece, this workout, this workout, when the recovery aspect is completely ignored. So I do encourage everybody to, you know, we'll put all your information in the notes. But take some time to do this kind of stuff, because you will feel the benefits of it, and you will succeed. That's my preach.
Love it.
You're just going to stare at me, Brett?
Hands up.
I agree.
So thank you so much for all of this.
Thank you.
One last question. What is your something good for us today?
My something good is that I scheduled a meeting this morning with an athletic director to talk about bringing all of his captains and assistant captains within the school to Elevate Camp.
Wonderful. So, what level is this? College or high school?
High school.
Okay.
So we love leadership, and we're really excited about that opportunity. And that was this morning. That's my something good.
Great.
Awesome.
Hey.
Love hearing success stories.
Yes. And I just want to acknowledge your courage and tenacity, sticking with everything that you've been through, your yoga, the training for athletes, and then being able to develop it into this new business. I think it's so wonderful, and you truly are to me an example of somebody who is so aligned. And I have to believe that that comes from your years dedicated to developing this sense of presence. And it's really just a beautiful thing to see. And I've watched you grow, and it's just been an absolute pleasure. So I just want to acknowledge that.
Thank you. I feel the same about watching your journey.
Oh, thank you.
So, and I'll have to come try a strength and conditioning class. We'll have to exchange our expertise.
Yes. Paolo's an amazing trainer, so.
No, you need some reminding on that, don't you? It's been a little while.
It's all right. We're good.
Yeah, remember the arm wrestle?
We didn't ask your question.
Well, I put in the running order who would win an arm wrestle between the two of them.
And I thought we're both hockey moms.
Yeah.
And we both have hockey mom strength, which is a real thing. Mm-hmm. lifting
yeah,
bags
true.
For all those years.
That's so. Right. And knowing both of us, we would stop and shake and just hug.
Exactly.
And you have a bad elbow anyway.
And I have a bad elbow,
oh,
so
one?
I would actually lose.
I'll go for the other one.
I'm not going to tell you.
I'm not going to tell.
That's the secret. All right, well, that was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ali. Really appreciate it.